Welcome to Torah Dimecha Parsha. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be learning Parshios Tazria and Metzora, the fourth and fifth Parshios of Sefer Vayikra. The Parsha begins with a discussion of a Yoledes, a woman who has given birth, and her state of impurity. The next and main topics of the two Parshios are about Tzara'as, a spiritual malady that appears on a person's skin, his clothes, or in his home. Parshas Tazria deals with the diagnosis of the condition, while Parshas Metzora deals with how a person becomes tahor, pure, after being declared as having tzara'as, as well as the laws of tzara'as on the home. Parshas Metzora concludes with a discussion of other tumah from emissions from a man or a woman. There are actually three different categories of tzara'as. There is tzara'as on the home, tzara'as on clothes, and then tzara'as on the body. Chazal say that if a person gets tzara'as on their home and does not take a lesson, it moves on to their clothes. And if that doesn't work to change them, it moves to their body. The Gemara says that there are seven sins which cause tzara'as, while the Medrash says that there are 10. Reish Lakish in Gemara Erechin says that the main reason for which tzara'as comes is for the sin of Lashon Hara. Our Parshios begin the conversation about tzara'as in the opposite order. It first mentions how to diagnose tzara'as in the body, then on the clothes, and then on the home. Tzara'as is not a natural or contagious disease. If a person sees particular symptoms on their skins and suspects that they may have tzara'as, they call a kohen to their home. Only a kohen can declare a person or clothing to have tzara'as. Even if the kohen knows that the affliction is tzara'as, they must verbalize it and say that this is indeed tzara'as. In many cases, it may not be immediately clear whether a skin affliction is tzara'as. In that case, the kohen puts a person in quarantine. He marks off the skin and may shave hairs so that any changes are clear, and then waits 7 days. If the signs of tzara'as, which are listed in the parsha, are confirmed after 7 days, the kohen declares the person a metzora. If it is still unclear, then another 7-day period is prescribed. The Sefer HaChinuch asks a fundamental question about these series of mitzvos. Why do we have mitzvos with all these details regarding tzara'as that take up multiple psukim and two parshios? The laws of Shabbos and Kashrus, which take up most of our lives, take up far fewer psukim. The Chinuch's answer gets to the heart of our Jewish faith. The Chinuch says that the reason is L'kol b'nafshu senu ki hashkachas Hashem Baruch Hu pratis al kol echad v'echad mibnei Adam. To establish in our souls that Hashem's providence, blessed be He, is particular over each and every human being. Hashem watches everyone. He sees what we do and He cares. We may wonder, does Hashem really care what I eat, what I say, what I wear? The answer is yes. Our lives in this world are influenced by our actions and the spiritual ramifications of what we choose. Sometimes this is hard to remember. We do not see lightning come out from heaven and strike an evil dictator after he acts. So Hashem gave us a mitzvah that reminds us of this general rule. When a person sees tzara'as, they are reminded that Hashem is in charge. It is for this reason the person with tzara'as must turn to the Kohen for help. The Kohen is the person in the Jewish society who works in the Beis HaMikdash and offers karbanos on behalf of his neighbors to atone for sins. When the person with a suspected tzara'as has to answer the door and has to bring the kohen into his home, the hope is that this will cause him to stop and reflect on the kohen's role and what the kohen should be doing with his time. This embarrassment and discomfort will start the process of tshuva. If this message is not enough, the tzara'as will appear indeterminate. He will be put into quarantine, as perhaps this will make him reflect on the consequences of his choices and resolve to make better ones. The process of true introspection and change can take time, so the quarantine period can be repeated for another 7 days. If after all these warnings, a person does not do tshuva, they must then be declared a metzora. They must sit alone and cover their mouth and grow their hair and shout tame, impure, to all who pass. The Kohen had laws that dictated when he could declare an affliction tzara'as. Rabbeinu Bachaya teaches that the Kohen could not go to the home on Sunday, so that the quarantine period would not end on a Shabbos, either in 7 days or 13 days in the future, as the seventh day and the first day of the next cycle are the same. The Kohen was not a doctor and was not meant to be viewed in this light. If it was a true disease, the person would have been isolated before the Kohen arrived. Instead, the most severe isolation comes after 14 days. The Kohen does not protect himself from exposure. The Al-Sheikh says that the Kohen is not a doctor or another medical professional to reinforce the idea that tzara'as is not natural. Just like this affliction is happening because of divine intervention, everything in life happens b'hashkacha pratis. The person will remember that Hashem cares about how he acts and will resolve to change. This idea that Hashem cares about our actions is one of the Rambam's 13 principles of faith. The 10th of the Ani Mamins, which are a paraphrase of the Rambam's ideas, is, I believe with complete faith that the Creator, blessed is His name, knows all the deeds of human beings and their thoughts, as it is said, He fashions their hearts altogether and He comprehends all their deeds. Hashem knows how and why we act, but He allows space for individual choice, for Bechira. The Chinuch takes the opportunity to clarify this most important principle upon which the laws of Tzaraas and indeed the concept of divine intervention rests. Based on the Rambam, the Chinuch classifies belief in divine providence in three ways. The first group believes that there is Hashgacha Pratis. In fact, they believe that Hashem controls everything in the universe, from people to camels to seeds to rocks. Nothing in the world moves without intervention. If a leaf falls, that means that Hashem declared that this leaf should fall now. The Sefer Chinuch says that this is not logical. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim explains that there's a big problem with this approach. If everything in this world is predetermined by Hashem and dictated by Hashem down to every inanimate object, there would be no way for people to have room to make free choice. Nothing they do would ever make a difference. If a person kicked a door, it would not swing open unless Hashem intervened and caused it to move. There would be no reward or punishment for sins, as the results of any actions would be done by Hashem. There are a few Rishonim and Achronim who do believe in a high level of intervention, even for inanimate objects, but most agree with the Sefer HaChinuch. The second group says that there is no Hashgacha at all. Hashem created the world and then let it run according to nature. If anything happens out of the ordinary, it is a coincidence. This view is apikorsus, as it denies Hashem's ongoing involvement in the world. The third opinion is different than the first two. This opinion states that there are two levels of Hashgacha. There is a Hashgacha klalis, a general supervision over all living animals and vegetation. Rav Chaim Friedlander, in the Sefer Sifsei Chaim, explains that Hashem defines exactly how many of a species, how many cows should exist in the world, for example, and provides all the resources needed so that will happen. If there's a drought, Hashem does not decide that Bessie should live or die. Instead, Hashem puts a certain amount of hay and water in the world. Now, if Bessie is owned by Rav Tzadik, Hashem may intervene, but only because it impacts a person who is worthy. Hashem does not ignore all cows, because if it was not Hashem's will for a species to exist, that animal would cease to exist. In contrast, all people, says the Chinuch, have Hashgacha Pratis, individualized supervision from Hashem. This means that Hashem knows what we do and why. Two people could walk alike, talk alike, and act alike, and to any observer, they could seem to be acting the same. But Hashem can tell what is motivating them and will reward and punish accordingly. The Ramban in Brachos 18:19 seems to further clarify Hashgacha Pratis to mean that the degree of supervision and intervention for people is on a sliding scale. The more a person connects to Hashem, the more Hashem intervenes in nature for them. The more a person ignores and disconnects from Hashem, the more they are subject to the laws of nature and chance. And it seems like the Sefer HaChinuch follows this view, as will be discussed in two mitzvos about the punishment of the mitzvah. Being aware of this concept of Hashgacha Pratis is so fundamental that this is the reason that Hashem gave us the mitzvah Tzaraas and devoted so many psukim to its explanation. The goal of the mitzvah is for us to realize that nothing happens in this world by chance. When we had the Beis HaMikdash, people would get Tzaraas so they could realize that sin causes them nothing but troubles and isolation. This will motivate a person to distance himself from people who are bad influences and will encourage him to associate with a different crowd. He will come to realize that he should aspire to spend time with people like the Kohen, who tries to bring shalom, peace, between Hashem and his children, rather than with people who cause arguments. Through introspection and a decision to change, the tzaraas will be removed. His body and his belongings will look different. We do not have tzaraas, but we are encouraged to use any troubles in our lives for a similar purpose. The Gemara in Brachos 5 says, Imroa adam sheyesurin ba'imalav, if a person sees troubles coming on him, yefashfesh b'masav, he should search out his deeds. How and why people suffer is a complex theological topic. Our goal in searching our deeds is not to assign blame. It's too easy to say that people are sick because Cyril over there cuts in line in the grocery store. Rather, when we have trouble, it is an opportunity to reevaluate our relationship with Hashem and look at ourselves. Hashem wants to do positive things for us. And if things are not positive, then there may be some way to improve to merit more positive things and merit more direct supervision by Hashem. Are there areas where we do not recognize that Hashem cares about what we do? Are there people who influence us to ignore Hashem? Are there people we can choose to spend time with who inspire us to do more mitzvos? This act of introspection is something that each person must do for themselves to recognize that Hashem cares about her. In between all the laws of tzaras, the Torah warns us not to remove a hair that is in the tzaras area that would make the Kohen declare the affliction most definitely tzaras. It takes so long for a person to be declared a metzora. Why can't he pluck out a single hair that will cause him to have this status? Following the logic of the Chinuch's reason why we have tzaras in general, removing hair would be counterproductive. Let's say a person is walking around his house and he notices a small crack in their foundation. What do they choose to do next? They may be tempted to cover the crack with those fancy paving stones so you can't see the foundation. Problem solved. But the cracks are still there. Eventually, the floors will start to crack and the house could collapse. The smart person notices the issue and fixes it when they see it. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Hashem does not want to cause people pain. If he is doing so, there is a reason. It could be that reason, as with tzaras, is a message from Hashem to do tshuva and make changes in our life. A person may be tempted to try to get rid of the problem or evidence of the problem. You have an annoying family member. Don't call them. You don't like what someone does in shul. Change shuls. Don't become members. I'm going to get rid of the problem. I can deal with it on my own. Or let's say a person is ill or has a child who is struggling. They may try to hide it from the neighbors and ignore it and not go to the doctor. They may say, if I don't acknowledge the issue, it's not there. That's not the goal of troubles in our life. The Sefer HaChinuch says, Rak yesh lo levakesh techina me'ez hakel yisparach, sheyirapei machatz makosav. He needs to ask for Hashem's grace to heal him. We, of course, need to do our hishtadlis, our efforts to get better, as it says in Shmos, Verapo yirapei, we are given the direction to go to doctors to heal. But in addition to that, we must look to the laws of tzaras as a guide that problems also have a spiritual component that we should evaluate to do tshuva. When a person has tzaras, the consequences are far more severe than with other tama. Other people who are tame may not have access to places of kedusha, like in the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. But the metzora could not stay in the camp with all the Jews, or after the Jews came into Israel, they could not stay in walled cities. The metzora must sit apart from other people. They can't even sit with other metzoraim. They must tear their clothing, let their hair grow wild, and call out tame, impure, when others approach. This was to make sure that the message of what tzaras was about would make an impression. The person may have already had tzaras on their home, on their clothes, been counseled by the Kohen, been isolated for 13 days, and yet they stubbornly keep sinning or refuse to do tshuva. Being with other people is really good for a person. Socializing makes a person feel better. Now that they have tzaras, they can't have positive things. They need to realize that this is a reflection of a spiritual reality. Hashem wants to give us good things, but when we sin, he cannot. Hashem is not a vindictive friend who is mean because we were mean first. There are consequences for behaviors. Sin removes anything good from a person's life. When we do that which Hashem wants, he showers us with good. He pays closer level of supervision on us. But when a person sins, he removes from himself a certain level of hashgacha, of supervision that is available to those who are close to Hashem. This allows negative forces to come into his life. The Sefer HaChinuch brings a mashal to illustrate this concept. Let's say a person is walking on a path and on the side is barbed wire. If someone cuts himself on the barbed wire, it doesn't mean that Hashem wants him to be injured. He caused his own problems. In the same way, tzaras is teaching us that when bad befalls a person, it is because of his behavior. As he changes, the affliction will be removed because it is merely a manifestation of his spiritual reality. We do not live in the times of the Beis HaMikdash where they had tzaras and could remember this concept regularly. Once a year, as we read these parshios, we should remind ourselves that Hashem cares about us and what we do, and that how we act will have consequences. We should take every opportunity to reflect and think, how can we improve to come close to Hashem, as that is the goal of our lives? Have a good Shabbos.